Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Family of 10 kids, first one to go to college, and I've earned my success. I've earned my right to fly private if I choose to do so. And by attacking me is not going to convince me that I should take a bigger hit because I happen to be wealthy.
You tell him, Mr. Johnson, that's Mr. Johnson of the Black Entertainment Television Network, attacking the president for attacking the rich. He's absolutely right. He knows what he's talking about. Of course, the biggest news is Amanda Knox. She has been freed. Do you think Amanda Knox was innocent or guilty? Now, as we discuss the Amanda Knox trials and tribulations, remember this. She was there. A girl is dead. Amanda Knox will come home to a hero's welcome. The vermin in the media already turning her into a Martha Washington and Madame Curie all in one. I have a question for you. Do you think Amanda Knox would be receiving this lionization by the American vermin in the media if she were a black woman? Or worse yet, for the American media, what would they do if it was a black American man who had been freed after being found guilty? Why are they lionizing Amanda Knox? After all, she was involved in it looks to me, by what I've read of the case, and I certainly wasn't there, she and her friends went to have a sex orgy. And a girl got held down and stabbed to death and killed. She was there. So someone's dead. Only one person's in jail, and he happens to be black African. While the rich white girl from Seattle has unlimited money, and she's freed. So, I mean, she was there. What was she doing there? Was she crocheting while the girl was being slaughtered like a lamb? That's one story. If you care to talk about it, I guess you can. I never cover murder stories, but it's a big story today, and I think we should. Is she innocent or guilty? Now, the vermin at AOL have gotten lower than ever since the Harridan from Greece took over AOL. Since the Greek Harridan took over AOL, they've gotten lower and more gutter-like than ever before. The Greek Harridan, who has destroyed AOL's shred of credibility, is now attacking... Well, let me read you the headline. Here's AOL News for the 11-year-old mind. That means most people who write for the New York Times. Racial slur stirs new trouble for Perry. The Texas governor's campaign fights back after a report claims that a racial epithet was displayed at his family's hunting camp. No word of Pelosi's $737 million guaranteed solar loan to a relative. No mention of any scandal surrounding the great Obama. Instead, attack, 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 anyone running against him. Knox fights back tears, claims innocence. Keystone Pipeline lobbyist had cozy relationship with State Department staffers. New emails show. This is from the Greek Harridan's website. No word of the insider trading in the energy business. Occupy Wall Street protesters remain defiant. After Brooklyn Bridge arrests, after these low-life, degenerate nobodies who have nothing to do except tie up working people's lives, close down the Brooklyn Bridge, the vermin in the media turn them into heroes again. And so forth and so on. All destroyed by people like the Greek Harridan who took over AOL. But what's the real news? Well, what do you really want to talk about? Well, there's a lot of real news. There's a lot of real news out there. The real news begins now on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. You got Obama immersed in one scandal after another. Gun running to Mexico, not a word of it from the Greek Harridan or her cohorts. Insider loans to friends in the solar scam industries, not a word of it from the Greek Harridan or her friends. The other scandals surrounding him are on a, let us say, Nixonian level, if not bigger. Not one word of it from the Greek Harridan or her friends. So there it is, 1-800-449-8255. Then there was the killing of the U.S. citizen, Anwar al-Awlaki. It's an interesting take on this story that you're going to hear from me. You would think I'd be a knee-jerk conservative and say, good job, Obama, which I did on Friday. But on second thought, not good job, Obama. Because if Obama could just kill an American without a trial, who's next? You? Me? What could he claim? That he has a secret law that was passed by Eric Holder giving him the right to kill al-Awlaki? No, I'm sorry. Something's wrong with this government. If this guy in the office of the White House can kill a man as despicable as al-Awlaki is, or was, he's dead, you know, an American Muslim, grows up in this country, hates white people in particular, goes to Krapistan and preaches hate against America, inspires the one rat after another to try and bring down planes, inspires the Fort Hood massacre artist, who, by the way, has still not been brought to trial. Ask yourself why he is not. Colonel Hassan has still not been brought to trial under Obama. Why are they not showing him? Because it would be very bad for business if they showed him, and then they would show that the Defense Department was complicit in permitting him to survive. But anyway, nothing about that. Nothing about that. The issue is, Obama killed al-Awlaki, saying he had a secret law written for him by Holder, I guess in the middle of the night on last weekend, before he killed him. Something's wrong with this picture. So you say, well, wait a minute, are you agreeing with CAIR and the ACLU and Ron Paul? Yes. Yes, I agree with them. Yes. Ron Paul floats impeachment for drone kill of U.S. citizen. I agree with Ron Paul. Because if Obama can kill an American citizen based upon evidence, but without a trial, he can kill you. He can kill anyone he doesn't like. And then he could say, see, I have a secret law here passed during the night. Ron Paul said Monday that President Obama's targeted killing of Anwar al-Awlaki might be an impeachable offense. He said impeachment would be possible, but he wants to know more about how the administration flouted the law. Ron Paul called the killing a movement toward tyranny. 100% right. He's 100% right. He said, we've just totally disrespected the Constitution. He's the only one out there who puts Ron Paul at odds with his Republican rivals over foreign policy and the war on terror. In other words, the Republicans would say, good job. Good job. Michelle Bachmann, Mitt Romney, all said good job, supportive of the killing. No one else in the Republican field has spoken out against it. But I actually agree with Ron Paul and civil libertarians who criticize the targeted killing of an American citizen without any due process whatsoever. You wouldn't expect that from me, would you? Well, what can you expect when you can't predict what I'm going to say or do? You can't predict what I'm going to say or do in most cases because I actually think. I'm not a knee-jerk anybody. And by the way, thank you for making Abuse of Power number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list of fiction. It must be killing all of the literary types on the left who are pretending the book doesn't exist. It does exist. It's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big deal. 1-800-449-8255 is my phone number. Is Knox innocent or guilty? Sacramento, Stevie, the first up. Is Amanda Knox innocent or guilty?
Man, she's guilty. You have money, power, sex, evidence of being there. Smiles are happy during the trial, and they go away, and tears of guilt flow once she finds out she got away with it.
So why was she found guilty to begin with? What did they say the evidence was? DNA from a brassiere strap?
I mean, you know, they have her small footprint. Her footprint's not a male size. They have evidence of her knife, of her DNA on the knife. I mean, she was there, guilty by association, and you don't call the cops, you don't do anything, and now you're...
Well, is she now saying she wasn't even in the room where the orgy was taking place before this poor girl was slaughtered like a sheep?
Oh, man, exactly. And it's just, I don't know.
What was Amanda Knox doing in that room during the murder?
Oh.
Was she doing her nails? What was she doing there?
She's one of those deep sleepers. You know, she was in the other room with her iPod on her ears. I mean...
Yeah, there you go. She was watching the nightly news from America because she was homesick for mom.
So,
But why do you think the American media is on Amanda Knox's side? Why have they turned her into a heroine?
Oh, well, I mean, look, you have everyone taking sides for this, what is it, the Anthony Carey was... I mean, the American people, they want something to... They're just looking for a guilt show. It's like, I don't know, the stars of the super shows. I have no idea. America's...
Oh, but in your opinion, Amanda Knox shouldn't have been found... The shouldn't have been overturned.
Exactly.
The conviction shouldn't have been overturned. I mean, justice is to the Italian justice system what music is to the military music, to mangle a phrase. You know, justice in Italy is worse than justice in America. It's whoever, you know, judge you can buy... I mean, whatever the price is in Italy, that's what you get. You know what I mean? You get what you pay for in Italy.
Oh, pretty much. And it's like...
Not much different than America. You get the, whatever justice you can afford in Italy as in America, only apparently it's worse. Well, I'm sending you some justice. You're getting a free copy of what? What are you getting? Do you know? Stephen.
All right. Yes,
Don?
Man. Yeah.
Stephen.
Yes.
What am I sending you? A free copy of what?
Oh, excuse me. A free copy of the greatest Michael Savage book ever being written on Earth.
Yeah, but you don't know the title. What is it?
Trickling Poverty.
No. Sorry, you loot. No, you had to say Abuse of Power. 1-800-4... No book for him. No book for him. So you want to talk about the killing of the terrorist and was he entitled to rights or not? And be careful what you say here. We all want him dead. If he is what they say he is, which I believe he is. But who's next? Who can Obama whack next and then come out and raise money the next day? You? Me? A man who runs a big website? A man who runs a little website that's critical of the president who he can declare to be a terrorist and have him killed by a special secret law written by Eric Holder? Who's next? Who's next? New Mexico, Jack, your opinion, please.
Mike, I just want to know where in the Constitution it says that enemy combatants are entitled to constitutional protection.
Well, wait, hold on now. Stop for a minute. He's an American citizen.
Okay. He's not just any American citizen.
No, but he's an American. The issue is, the reason Ron Paul is saying that Obama could be impeached for this is because he had an American citizen executed without a trial. He killed him, you know, with a missile strike. Now, we all applauded that. I did initially until I started to say, wait a minute. What right did Obama have to do that? It was not like Osama bin Laden who was not an American citizen. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So the illegitimate left in America, that would include virtually 95% of the people in the media, are now trying to change the argument and attack Herman Cain, not Mitt Romney, because as you all know, he's a shoo-in because he can't win. The reason they love Mitt Romney is he's going to lose if he runs against Obama. The reason Mitt Romney will lose if he runs against Obama is because you and I won't go and vote for him. We won't come out and vote because we know that we're going to get... Well, maybe we'll vote for him, but the base won't come out for him because he's not a true conservative. You know what he is. He's a nice guy, a checked pants Republican, business as usual, Wall Street type. Nothing wrong with that, nothing evil about him, but it's not what America needs right now. We need a fire in the belly, radical right winger to save this country from the Marxists who have destroyed virtually everything worth living for in this nation. And most people I know live in terror that there'll be nothing left if this imposter wins four more years, which is exactly what's going to happen if they run Romney. So having made a long paragraph out of a short statement, we can now focus on the bigger issue, which is who can Obama kill and when? So I now join the ACLU, and strangely enough, you know, politics makes strange bedfellows, Ron Paul, in saying, wait a minute, if he can kill al-Awlaki, with a drone strike, and a guy was an American citizen, no matter how vile, with no trial, who can he kill next? You in the streets of New York? Because he doesn't like your politics? And say that he was doing it in the name of the Holy Terror, the War of Holy Terror. You know, the War on Terror has become like a new Inquisition. The War on Terror is now being used as a sort of new Inquisition by every president, not just him. Bush did it too. Bush did it right. Obama's doing it wrong, incidentally. But nevertheless, you cannot give one man or one administration carte blanche to kill anybody they want, especially American citizens, because you could be next. Trust me, as a man who has seen a power abused by the British and American governments, who, by the way, the American governments were in cahoots with the British government in banning me from entering the country, and I can tell you how I know it. It's because I've appealed to Hillary Clinton to intervene on my behalf, and she won't even answer me. So therefore, she is complicit with the British in having me ban an American a commentator, which tells you right now that anybody can be targeted at any time by this government, and they can do whatever they want to you and throw the key away. They can slander you. They can destroy your reputation. Or worse yet, they can execute you. So in that regard, I believe it's an impeachable offense. And Amanda Knox, innocent or guilty? Innocent or guilty? Barbara in Indiana, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I truly believe that she is completely innocent. I lived over in Italy for about 18 months, lived in the UK for about 3 years, and so I kind of know what the people are like over there. I've been following it in the European papers. I read. The UK paper a lot, and like the evidence that they presented, it just doesn't hold water.
Where was Amanda Knox during the murder?
You know, she says that she was out with her boyfriend. They say she was at home.
So who murdered the girl? Who murdered Kirshner?
Oh, I think that it was a local guy. I think that she was probably...
Wait. Isn't there a man in jail? There's an African man in jail for having murdered her. He's still in jail.
Exactly. Now,
so there's a racial element here. The two white people who were convicted, along with the black guy, the two white people were freed while the black guy's in jail. What does that tell you?
Even more so, the American was in jail. And I'll tell you what, the UK was...
Wait a minute. Who killed the girl? The girl is dead. And what was Amanda Knox? She was a party girl. Wasn't she a slut party girl? I mean, what was she doing in that room there? She wasn't crocheting.
Savage.
We are talking about two things. The unauthorized execution of an American Muslim who admittedly looks like a terrorist to me, but he wasn't given a trial and he was executed by the president, claiming he has an authorization to do so with a secret writ that no one's seen. In fact, the liberals are screaming, where's the law that gives you the permission? He won't show it. They're starting to catch on to the tyranny of Obama. And then we have the Amanda Knox, innocent after being proven guilty. And now something just came to me from my good friend Joe Farah, which I have to share with you. It came in 30 seconds ago. Here's a list of the top 25 streaming talk radio shows in America. Top 25. Now, who would you think would be number one? Rush. He is. Who do you think would be number two? Me. Rush Limbaugh is number one because he has much larger stations in every market in the country. Michael Savage is number two at 10.8 with a 10.8 share of talk, of streaming talk radio. I'm number two. Number six, Wallbanger. Number seven, is a man you never heard of who sounds like Groucho Marx's grandmother under no anesthesia getting a hysterectomy. It's an astounding list when you think about it. And then the rest are on there with very small shares, like equal to about a trucking show on midnight, the other talkers, statistically like a trucking show at midnight. But take a look at this. This is an amazing story. Top 25 streaming talk radio shows, TalkStream Live, a dynamic directory of streaming talk radio. Michael Savage, the unknown man who nobody will mention, banned in England and banned on Fox News by Roger Ailes and company, is number two. Beats everybody on Fox News. Beats Wallbanger. Of course, the Leprechaun isn't on radio anymore. But okay, but if he was, he wouldn't be anywhere in the top 10. This is really bad for the Wallbanger. I feel bad for Wallbanger for one reason, is that the older he gets, see, the thing is this, is I have a face made for radio. The problem when you're doing both TV and radio is that as you get older, people start to see the changes, and they may not like the way you look. It's like the portrait of Dorian Gray. In the case of Wallbanger, he's starting to look more and more like Lou Costello, who should be screaming, "Hey, Abbott!" instead of Republicans good, Democrats bad. But, okay, he's a nice guy. But the fact is, he no longer has a face for television. He's not the good-looking young Irish lad anymore. Right behind him is the Groucho Marx grandmother, anesthesia guy, who coughs and belches and makes gaseous sounds on the radio. And then there are others you've never heard of, way down below. But no, really, I have a 10 share. That's phenomenal. Number three is Glenn Beck with a 10.7 share. Number four, Laura Ingraham, 9.6 share. And then way down on the list are people who you think are very important, but they have the equal listenership on the stream to a midnight trucking show. Savage soars to number two. Savage, so that's pretty good. Sample size, 189,861 unique sessions. Talk stream live. This is going to make big news in the radio business. And I'll tell you why it's worth talking about, because I've often thought about this business, and a lot of people who run radio stations are starting to underestimate the power of radio. They shouldn't. Witness what happened with my book, Abuse of Power, which is number four on the fiction list, which is unheard of. Unheard of. And it was done with this radio show alone. I'm banned on Fox News. None of the major media would have me on, except for one guy who I will not go on CNN. I will not go near him. I will not go near him because he's a rat and a slime. I will not go near. I know how they work. Anyone who would go on these guys' shows and expect to come out with their views being expressed honestly is crazy. So, you know, he needs me. I don't need him. But the fact is, talk radio is the most powerful element of all of the media. It's the most powerful driver of all the media is talk radio. Absolutely more bang for the buck than any other vehicle for advertisers and for political ideas. Make no mistake about it. So now, having said that, you've got another issue, which is, what about the streaming talk radio shows where people listen to you online? They stream the show. You don't even get credit for that in ratings. It's a whole separate world. Advertisers don't even get billed for that kind of stuff for some reason. I don't know how this works. I've always known that my audience was much bigger than people think. And this proves it now. Rush is number one with a 16.8 share, and I have a 10.8 share, which is great. Which is great. You give me the same stations Rush Limbaugh has, I'll have a 25 share. You give me the same stations Rush has, I'll have a 25 share. I guarantee you, if America ever heard me in every major market, they wouldn't know what hit them. So having said that, let's say my core audience is X million. They know who I am. They've listened to me for years. And they know that they get the unvarnished truth from me, which is what they want in an age of whatever else you want to call it. You don't call everyone a liar, but everyone's shading. I don't think I'm shading. I'm not shaving and I'm not shading. This, the way most people think is the way I talk. So take that one home. Savage surges to number two of streaming shows in America. That's big news. And that's all I want to say about that. Now let's go back to regular programming. Amanda Knox, innocent or guilty? Obama killing Awolaki. Good, bad, or different? Let's see. Who do I have? Who's the best caller? Okay, Houston, Kareem, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Long-time listener from Marine County. Now I live in Houston. This is what I, you know, came to U.S. from India to get away from this kind of anarchy and this, you know, the Chicago thug style, you know.
So in other words, you're afraid of a government that could suddenly say, you're a terrorist, therefore I can kill you.
Yes, definitely. And that's what happens in third world countries. And now we live in the greatest nation in the history of the world, you know. And I'm scared, you know. I don't know.
It's very interesting, Kareem. I'm not scared because I expected this to happen. That Obama would celebrate the killing of an American citizen calling him a terrorist. But with that, there was no trial. I mean, I'm all for having arrested him. I'm all for having had the CIA or the SEALs catch the guy, put a hood on him, and take him in and give him a trial, not in New York, but a military trial, by the way. He should have been tried at Guantanamo, because at that point he would have been aiding and abetting the enemy. He would have been considered a combatant and so forth. Therefore, he should have been given a military trial at Guantanamo. But I don't think they should have just killed him like this. I mean, Kareem, if this is not an abuse of power, what is?
It is abuse of power. And who gave him a right to, you know, save it, the lives of the U.S. citizens.
Well, interestingly enough, I read an article in the uber-liberal Atlantic magazine today criticizing President Obama precisely because they said they've asked for the law which authorizes the killing of men like Awolaki, and the president says he has it, but he won't show it to them. Can you imagine living in America like this?
So if you have that kind of right, show it to everybody. You know?
Karim, believe me, I, of all people that you know, am more worried about this than you can imagine. Because if they can do it to Awolaki, who's next? Someone they don't like? Who they make up charges about?
Definitely.
Now, Karim, I'm going to send you Abuse of Power, my new smash novel. Read everywhere except in the San Francisco Bay Area where it's banned. Not permitted in San Francisco. Not permitted in San Francisco. So I think there's a very big story. Now, let's listen to the... Are they coming to get me? Is that what the siren is? That's where you want me to... All right. I'm in the radio studio here in San Francisco, and I open the window because it's raining, and I love the smell of a rain, of one of our first rains of the year. It's really not the first, but it feels like it. It's supposed to be soundproof, but I'm like Mr. Natural. I have to have access to the sounds of the city outside. I like the sound of tires swooshing on pavement in a rain. It's enough already. Turn off the sound effect, will you, Beowulf? Let's hear the president on whacking Awolaki. Let's hear it.
The death of Awolaki marks another significant milestone.
Stop for a minute. No, did you hear this? Did you hear what the president just said? It wasn't the death of Awolaki. It was the assassination. Don't you see the danger we are in when not only does he get away with killing a guy, but he calls it a death like the man died of natural causes. The guy didn't die of a heart attack from eating a poisoned falafel, a contaminated falafel sandwich in Pakistan, in Yemen. He was executed. Listen again from the top.
The death of Awolaki marks another significant milestone in the broader effort to defeat al-Qaeda and its affiliates. Furthermore, this success is a tribute to our intelligence community and to the efforts of Yemen and its security forces who have worked closely with the United States over the course of several years.
Now, let's stop right here. You know, during World War II, again, a very important reference point for me anyway, I don't know about you, the Germans sent spies and assassins and such into America by U-boat. They landed on Long Island. They landed, I think, in Florida. They were caught by accident, by the way. They were caught by accident. They were tried. And these were Americans who had gone back to Germany and fought for the Nazis because they spoke English perfectly. They were caught and tried, and they were executed. But they were given a trial by FDR. I read the cases. They were given a trial. They were not just summarily executed. Unlike President Obama, who seems to be taking the law into his own hands, virtually in every avenue of our lives, business, you name it, business, military, it's all single, tyrannical, just tyrannical. I'm not defending the terrorist actions. Don't put words in my mouth, okay? Something's wrong here. Something's really wrong here. New York, Lewis, do you think the president had the right to kill Awolaki without a trial, yes or no?
Absolutely not, Dr. Savage. This is the most egregious move by the president against the Bill of Rights that I have witnessed thus far. The Fifth Amendment protects all U.S. citizens, even the most despicable among us. That's the point of the Bill of Rights, to give United States citizens protection that most other governments and dictatorships wouldn't. And this is just further evidence that Obama is a dictator.
Well, I... you know... I hate to talk about another book I'm working on, but I am finishing up a nonfiction book that'll be out in the spring from Morrow about the tyranny of Obama. And boy, this frightened me. This is like the lead story. Where is the... I thought Mr. Obama was a constitutional liberal. Why would a constitutional liberal take the law into his own hands? Even liberals are asking that, Lewis.
It's absolutely scary, Michael. And, you know, he's supposed to be a constitutional attorney. Everything that he does is absolutely against what the Constitution is for. As an attorney, I find it despicable that a man would summarily execute a U.S. citizen from the presidency. When the president,
it's unbelievable to me. Frankly, I think that whoever authorized this could be brought up on charges in The Hague.
100%. You know,
you want to stop what goes around comes around? The liberals love The Hague. They love to pick on U.S. generals, Israeli generals. Well, what goes around comes around. Now you have a man who poses as a liberal who executes al-Awlaki. Whoever authorized this theoretically committed a war crime.
What's disgusting to me, Michael, is that you have the knee-jerk reaction of the Republicans and the presidential candidates, most presidential candidates out there, who said, oh, this is just such a great thing. Since when is killing...
But I said that on Friday. I saluted the president until I thought about it over the weekend. I had a lot of time to reflect. I said, wait a minute, something's wrong with this picture. al-Awlaki was an American citizen, no matter how despicable he was. Now, it is true he gave up his citizenship. So there is a window there, okay? Let's be clear, Lewis. As an attorney, doesn't that matter?
Well, Dr. Savage, in order to formally give up your citizenship, you have to go to U.S. consulate and formally give up your citizenship. To my knowledge, al-Awlaki never did that. So he never formally renounced his citizenship the way that you are supposed to do it. So he.
Are you a defense attorney, Lewis?
I am, Dr. Savage.
Good. Well, no. All right. Hey, someone's got to defend us. Generally, defense counsel are pretty smart. I could see the kind of criminals they get off. They're pretty clever. They know how to work the system. But in this case, if they found out who authorized the killing of al-Awlaki, do you actually think The Hague could bring them in on charges? They wouldn't do it, though. You know that.
Again, could they do it? In theory, yes. Should they do it? In theory, yes. Would they know? Could we try that person here in the United States? Absolutely. I mean, again, Obama is supposed to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and all he does is spit on it. It's terrible. And again, you have.
It sounds to me, Lewis, that you are originally quite liberal in your thinking. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, you know, during college, I was kind of liberal. You could say that.
Yeah, well, everyone in college is. You know the old saying, if you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. If you're still a liberal at 40, you have no mind. You've heard that.
Absolutely. I've heard it from you many times.
Well, I didn't invent it. You know my favorite joke, which I have to tell again. I'm sorry, I'm starting to repeat myself. What do you call a communist with three children?
I don't know.
A Republican. But there are no such, there's no such thing as a communist with three children. You might find a communist with one illegitimate child, or maybe two illegitimate children with two different beings, but you'd rarely find a communist with three children and the same wife. Lewis, I'm going to send it to you if you can name it. What are you getting a free copy of?
Abuse of Power.
Bingo! We have a prize winner. All right, let's go back to the big story, because this is the bread and butter of the show, which is the man in the street. The terrorist is a big story, but I think the average person is probably more interested in the Knox story. Rich girl found innocent today, coming home to a hero's welcome, given more accolades than Martha Washington and Madame Curie together. Is she innocent or guilty? I'll be right back.
Savage.
We're talking about Amanda Knox overturned. We're talking about someone in the Obama administration authorizing the execution of al-Awlaki. He's an American citizen. I it's crazy. Who's next? You? Someone the administration has a secret law about? It's really amazing. Who's next? Someone on the internet who has a website that's critical of the president? He's declared a terrorist in a secret midnight session with black hoods? Top 25 streaming talk radio shows, TalkStream Live, a directory of streaming talk radio. Rush is number one. Michael Savage, number two with a 10.8 share. Number six is Wallbanger. That's Sean Wallbanger. And we have sound of Wallbanger when he just heard that I beat him on the streaming. Listen.
Hey,
sorry for me. No, but who's next to be knocked off by the Obama administration? Everyone in the Tea Party leaders? And who's next? Who's next? I mean, you know, you've got that old fat hack, Roseanne Barr, saying that people should be beheaded if they make more than a certain amount of money. And that's considered just cool to say a thing like that. Now you've got people saying, what, everyone in the Tea Party secretly has a Rick Rock with the N-word on it at the in the backyard of their house? That they hide when people of color come over? Millions of Rick Rocks around the nation. Every Tea Party member has a Rick Rock in their backyard with the N-word on it, now hidden in the backyard. They should they all be brought in and tried? Sacramento, Anthony, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I'm from Alameda, California. And you brought up a very interesting point. At first, I agreed with Al-Awlaki being killed, but after listening to your show, I've missed a few Tea Party events, but I'm going to be attending upcoming events. And I was just wondering, you know, like you said, who's next, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't stop going to Tea Parties. In fact, I think that there's a strength in numbers. I think every American who opposes the tyranny of Obama and is terrified and angry at what he's done to this country should join a Tea Party, frankly. There is strength in numbers. There are far more of us than there are of the radicals who take their brassieres off and block the Brooklyn Bridge. Let's put it to you that way. And if we, and there is strength in numbers. I mean, it's time now to really get involved. I wouldn't be worried about them knocking off Tea Party members. But the fact of the matter is, it's a very bad precedent. That's the truth, Anthony. So I'm going to give you a copy of it if you can name it. What are you getting a free copy of?
Number 4 on the list is Abuse of Power.
Thank you. That's right. And you know why the book is so important? Because the words themselves send a message. Think about what I just said to you. If America starts saying, what if the words abuse of power is on the lips of most conscious Americans? Think of what that will the ramifications of that. Abuse of power, abuse of power, abuse of power, abuse of power, abuse of power. What do you think? It only applies to George Bush and Richard Nixon? Abuse of power? It can't apply to the Golden Man? Can't apply to the Golden Man because he's above the law? Haven't we learned what happens when a country permits a leader to operate above the law, to operate in a bubble, to write laws for himself? Haven't we seen by historical precedent what this leads to? Well, I think I've made some of my points. We're going to come back and talk about these and other topics here on the Savage Nation. Remember the big news, Michael Savage number 2 in streaming audiences, which is, I mean, amazing to me, considering I'm on so late in the day. And I'm not on in every market in the city in the big stations. I am not. So how is this happening? Word of mouth. Word of mouth. It's like a good movie. Savage is a good show. Listen to Savage. Stream him.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Name in Sacramento. Manager there. Alan.
I'm so tired, got no time to play. He'll come Wednesday.
All right, Fats, thank you. It's not Wednesday yet. It's still Monday. The working stiffs who are paying for Obama's vacations and machinations have not yet paid their taxes. You work from Monday through about Wednesday afternoon for the federal and state government. 47% of Americans pay no taxes at all. And I mean working Americans, 47% pay no taxes. So you want to start saying tax? I would say we should have a fair tax, which is tax everybody. Tax everybody. As far as taxing the rich pay much more. And the man who seems to know that the best or the most articulate is not an insider like Warren Buffett, who did it in order to get an insider deal on B of A, as far as I can tell. It's a man along the lines of BET founder Robert Johnson, Black Entertainment Television founder Robert Johnson, who told Obama, stop demagoguing the rich. Okay? Listen to clip 23.
I went in business to create jobs, create opportunity, create value for myself and my investors. And that's what the president should be praising, not demagoguing us simply because You know, Warren Buffett says he pays more than a secretary. He should pay his secretary more, and she'll pay more.
He's right. I'd like to get him on the show live. I mean, this guy knows what he's talking about. And then we have a big deal to announce on the show, which came to me in the last 10 minutes of the last show, which is the top 25 streaming talk radio shows. It caught me by surprise because I know my show's big, but I didn't know it was this big. I suspected my audience was much larger than the numbers would indicate and that the media reports in the radio industry. Rush Limbaugh's number one with a 16.8 share, as you would expect. He's on every large station in every large city. Yet Michael Savage is now number two at a 10.8 share, beating Glenn Beck, beating Wallbanger, who's only number six. This is a real blow to the Costello, the Lou Costello of talk radio. Listen to him. We caught him outside the studios when he heard about this, and he was told that Michael Savage beat him. Listen to what he said.
Hey!
We tried to get another comment, but we could not. No, it's pretty amazing. And look at the list. We're putting it on michaelsavage.com. Okay, so I have a 10.8 share. Yes, it's about me. Yes, I'm egotistical. Yes, you'd rather talk about the news. I know all of that, but you have to forgive me. Every once in a while, in this darkness called my life, there comes a little light. You'd say, well, wait a minute. What are you talking about, Michael? You know, come on. You're not a victim. I'm not a victim, no. But like every other man, I mean, I have teeth that fall out and tooth, you know what I'm saying? Isolation, loneliness. It's very isolated at the top, incidentally. You don't know that. You don't know that. You think we all know each other. No, there's no cooperation, no camaraderie. But that's the, you know, you talk about a different drummer. I love how all the liberals, everything they ever talked about, I am. And yet they refuse to acknowledge I exist. Everything they ever dreamed of being, I have become. The independent man, the Renaissance man, the man who walks alone, the man who marches to a different beat, the man who marches to a different drummer. Here I am, best-selling author in nonfiction, now switches to fiction, and in his first shot out of the park, knocks it out of the park. Not one word in an American newspaper. So would it change my life? It doesn't, really. The end of the day, I mean, was it Paul who said all is vanity? I get that. Okay, the Klieg lights, the flashbulbs, the listings, the Academy Awards. What does it really mean at the end of the day? You think when Martin Scorsese goes home, takes off the suit and tie, takes off the jacket, and lays down in his bed, what do you think he thinks about? What does he say? I'm a great man because I got an Academy Award, or I'm not a great man because I didn't get an Academy Award? No, I don't know what he thinks. I mean, you know, you are what you are. I mean, I know from the inside some very famous directors. I've heard from insiders who knew them. Like on New Year's Eve, they were sending around suicidal notes about how lonely they are. Big liberals, big libs saying that they feel like committing suicide because they're alone. So don't assume that what you see on TV is what people are. Everyone's the same at the end of the day. I don't care whether you're a president or a janitor. At the end of the day, when you lay down in bed and it's you and your dreams and God, if you still understand that there is a God, doesn't matter whether you believe in God because he's there whether you believe in him or not. See, that's how that works. He doesn't need you. You need him. Holy man once said that to me. I once said to him as a cynical kid, I said, what do we need to pray to God if he's so powerful for? And he said to me, well, Michael, he doesn't need you to pray to him, but you need to pray to him. That was just called a revolution in my life. I don't pray. I'm cynical again. That's why I'm kind of not happy. But that's okay. I go in and out of it. I go in and out of belief the way Mother Teresa did. I'm not comparing myself to Mother Teresa. I'm better looking than she was. But the fact of the matter is, she had her doubts. She had her doubts. But you look at this list of rank and share. Rush Limbaugh, 16.8. Michael Savage, 10.8. You look all the way down the list. This the railroad conductor on a station, Imus, right? Way overplayed. No one listens to him. 0.7. I'm not making this up. Midnight Trucking has a rating equal to his. And yet you think, oh, he's so important because they all go on his show. They ought to wake up the politicians to who's really important in the media. It's not the guys they grew up with who kiss their butt when they go in the radio station with the microphones. All right? And where's the balloon man? Where's the balloon man, the richest, most powerful man in the media? He's not even here. Why is the balloon man not even rated? He's not even here. No streaming. Maybe, I don't know, maybe a show doesn't stream. But the balloon man doesn't. You know, the guy with the wig from Long Island who pretends to be younger than he is. Not even on the list. I cannot believe this. And other people who pretend to be important are not even rated. 08s, 09s. Yes, I'm happy about this. Yes, my dog will get an extra bone. Sacramento Josh, welcome to the Savage Nation. Most despicable congressman in American history. Dick Durbin, the communist, the anti-American, the anti-military Dick Durbin. That's who they put on that station. I'm not on that station anymore. I'm on another station in Chicago now.
His first name suits him, but I wanted to call you because when I heard you talking about you were number two for streaming, I thought, hey, you know, that's me. Like, I moved to Chicago for a job, and it's so hard being a young conservative living in such a liberal.
Well, where do you stream me? When you say stream, how do you listen to me? On what?
Oh, it's my smartphone. There's an app, and I can pick radio stations all across the country, and I can just listen to that radio station.
Right. Okay, so you could be anywhere in the world and listen to any show you want at any time.
That's pretty cool.
But you don't even pay for that.
Well, it's part of my, like, a data package. You play for how...
I know that, but I'm saying us guys in radio, I don't understand this part of the business. How in the world can this be ballooning like this, and radio stations don't even understand that they're losing audience to iPhones and other applications? The people are running to these applications, aren't they?
The radio station has to allow it. They allow me to use that app for that radio station. So they have a contract.
Okay, so the radio station gets the credit for it. In other words, when you go on it. That's interesting. Well, if you can name it, you got it. What's the free gift I'm sending you?
Well, I just want to tell you that, you know...
No. Hold on now. What's the name of the free gift I'm sending you?
Abuse of Power.
Bingo! You're a winner on the Savage Nation. You're a winner on the Savage Nation. Sacramento, Eric, you're on the Savage Nation.
Ich bin ein Savage. Hey, Dr. Savage, I just want you to know that you have captured so many people in the heavy metal group. You have a market there. I have a ton of friends who are heavy metal musicians.
But why do they like me? I'm of a different age. I have a bit of a white beard. How do I relate to the heavy metal guys with tattoos?
You have the right attitude. Push across the truth and what we need back in this nation.
You know, I tell you, I think I just made a decision because of you. I've been pondering doing a live performance when my health improves. I think the first one I'm going to do is going to be a heavy metal crowd. That's what I really want to do, is like a rock crowd. I don't think I want to do the old guys. I want to do the young, crazy guys with tattoos. I'd like to get them. I'd like to really whip them up into a frenzy.
Will, and because you got such a, a savage attitude. I mean, everybody loves you. I mean, you'll just make a crowd go completely crazy.
Yeah, but what if this guy, you hear my voice and you think I'm 6'9", right? And like I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime. What if you see a guy come out who doesn't look like that and he has a white beard? What are you going to do then?
With your attitude, you can be any size.
That's exactly right. You see, this is the point. Agelessness, my friend, it's about attitude, not about appearance. I mean, how about the guys who look one way, but inside they're another, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you must have guys in the heavy metal movement who look like they're ferocious lions who inside are very terrified, I would think, right?
Well, you know, the majority of them, they stand for the truth. They're just brutal. And
well, are heavy metal people? I mean, what are their politics? Are they all, you say heavy metal, what are they, right-wingers, left-wingers? What are they?
Well, they're like how you said, you know, when they're young at heart, they're the rebels, you know, and then they turn into understanding how much, you know, bad stuff there is out there and how much lying. They get so mad about it that they got it right.
Oh, okay, so they're just basically into the music as a way of expressing their rage against the machine, so to speak, that's lying to them about everything. Everything's a PR stunt, and they can't take it. So they go into this mode of, F you, I'll do what I want. You don't like it, I'll punch you in the nose, verbally, if not physically.
Yeah, and with, you know, how I'm saying about the crowd that you captures is that they're looking for somebody to give them the straight, honest-to-God truth, and somebody who's not going to be nice about it, because... You know, being nice, there's a little bit of, you know, you can tell there's a little bit of a lie behind it. And, you just give so much truth, it's brutal. And it's just, it's, you know, this is the vocal text version or the talk version of heavy metal. And since I've...
Wow, Eric, that's a heck of a conversation we're having. Naturally, I like hearing it. An older guy like me wants to hear he's relating to younger people, which I've always known, incidentally, because truth has no age, incidentally. And forcefulness has no age. The quest for honesty has no age. You know all of that. They're eternal.
Right.
So when you guys go to a concert, you're in Sacramento, who's a heavy metal group up there, like a big one?
Well, it's not so much the heavy metal crowd, you know, or the groups that I go see. I mean, I play in a band, but, you know, people like Metallica, Motley Crue, you know, the guys that you have on your bumpers.
Oh, you mean the older groups?
I mean, the younger groups right now, I think they're...
Eric, how about Rammstein?
Yes, Rammstein.
Rammstein. They're actually... Even though they're kind of passe in a way, they move me the most of all of the groups. The power of that heavy metal stuff. Eric, I'm sending it to you if you can name it. What's the name of it?
Abuse of Power.
Bingo! That'll be the name of my concert. Now let's have some Rammstein as I go into a break.
Du hast mich. Du hast mich.
It's a rainy day, so I was cleaning out a studio that I have in San Francisco. I stumbled upon gold, and that is, as you well know, back in 2009, I was banned from entering Britain. Then I was invited by the Cambridge Union to give a speech on freedom of speech. Then they were pressured by the Brown administration, and they canceled my invitation. And I wrote this. I said, in a world without the guarantee of freedom of speech, there could be no real forum for debate, justice, or liberty. Only fear and complacency reign. Do you realize how prescient those words are? This nation of America right now is living in fear and complacency. Either you're complacent, like the dodos walking around who don't see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil about the Obama tyranny. And the others, those amongst us who actually fear what the man is doing because we see what's going on. And then I wrote, only what the government wants to reign will reign. So they can ban me from Britain without a public trial. Without a private trial, I had no right to appeal. Now we come to the point where they knock off al-Awlaki, claiming he was a terrorist, which he probably was. No trial, no writ of habeas corpus, no arrest warrant, and they kill him with a drone strike. And Obama says that he has the authorization to do so from the Justice Department. Even the left-wing Atlantic magazine wrote, wait a minute, why won't you show it to us? Huh? The only reason this is going on in this ocean of mendacity is because there are no people in the media anymore to raise these questions. Why did they ban me from England? Why would a culture such as the English be famous for perennially dystopian novels like Dickens' Hard Times, Orwell's 1984, Brave New World, or even Rowling's Harry Potter? That's a culture. That's what England's known for. The Brits may be our genteel, polite cousins. I almost said Gentile, polite cousins. The Brits may be our genteel, polite cousins, but they really must learn a thing or two about being pushed around by their leaders, their so-called royal family, who are no better than a legal mafia. Do you realize what just went on here? Do you know that cyber speech and cyber presence has also been banned in England because even my broadcast to England was banned in my defense? Did you hear what I said to you? Why do you think I was motivated to write a novel like Abuse of Power? Do you think I needed the money? You think I wrote it because I wanted a bestseller? Eh, a little bit of that. No, I wrote it because I wanted to try to tell the world what really is going on behind the scenes. A power abuse in the power vacuum. Abuse of power worldwide, mainly in the West, and you don't even know it. You're focused on Amanda Knox. You should be focused on Michael Savage. It's a far bigger issue than a slut who was caught up in a love tryst. and got away with murder, in the opinion of millions of people, both in Italy and America.
Savage.
See, God has the last laugh. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. You saw the story last week. We're moving away from the Knox and the Ala Wallachy murder and the $737 million to Pelosi's relative stories. Ralph Steinman wins a Nobel Prize for his groundbreaking research in cancer and dies. And he's awarded the Nobel Prize for Medicine on Monday, despite the revelation that he had died a few days before the announcement. Now, the Nobel Prize is only supposed to go to living scientists. There's the distasteful possibility that he could be posthumously stripped of the award. You see this? This is amazing. What I'm getting at here is this. Did he live for the award? Did he live for the Nobel Prize? Would it change his life? I remember when I was a young biology student at Queens College, you know, little peon in the classroom, and our heroes were Watson and Crick, going back to, wow, another age. They uncoiled the double helix of DNA. So they were the heroes, even though allegedly they ripped it off from a lab assistant, a woman assistant, a radiological specialist, who I'm sorry to tell you, I forget her name, but it was her X-ray crystallography that I think actually deciphered the double helix, if I remember correctly. It's 50 years ago, so forgive me. So anyway, I'm a young undergrad, you know, mediocre student at best, very bad interest, and I was interested in things, but I was a bad student. So our heroes were Watson and Crick. But when one of them won the Nobel Prize, and I think it was Watson, I don't know which, they showed him at Cambridge when he's giving a lecture, and a student comes up and says, "Sir, you've just won the Nobel Prize." And he says with the then very famous British, you know, understatement, he says, "Yes, thank you," and he goes on with his lecture. No popping of champagne, no hoorays, no celebrations, and he went on with his life, and because that's the way he was. As a matter of fact, Watson was recently fired from Cold Spring Harbor, wasn't he, for saying something politically incorrect about 5 years ago? Didn't he say something equivalent to Rick's Rock? I mean, didn't they try to smear him with the Rick's Rock thing? Yeah. See, they take a great man like that, a great scientist like that, says one wrong word, and he gets thrown out of Cold Spring Harbor. Thrown out of science because, you know, we're living in a terrible age, by the way. We're not living in the age of enlightenment anymore. Not with Obama. He introduced the age of something else. He didn't bring in the age of enlightenment. Let's be clear. Obama ushered in another age. I haven't defined yet what it is, but it's not the age of enlightenment. I think the age of enlightenment ended a long time ago, long before Obama. But this man did not bring in the age of progressivism either. He brought in the age of something much different. Some would say the age of tyranny. But he's so good at it, so silk smooth at it, you don't even know that you're being put into the chair. You don't even know you're being strapped into the chair or strapped onto the gurney. He's so smooth at it, you're putting your hands into the cuffs. He is so smooth at it, you're taking the bagel on the way into the boxcar. He's so smooth at it, you're saying could have another smear of cream cheese on the way into the boxcar. But all right, you don't want to know that. You want to live in a dream world because you can go buy a green tie, red tie, yellow tie. You can buy a red car, blue car, yellow car. You can buy a big car, small car, medium car. You can buy an SUV, an LEV, an LSMFT, and you think you're free. You're not free. You're a slave. You are a slave, and I don't mean a wage slave. That's been said a long time ago. You are a slave of your own views of progressivism. You don't even understand what you're talking about when you think that Obama's a progressive. But again, I don't want to go there. I wanted to talk about Amanda Knox. I was pleased to see it was a story today so I can get off the tyranny of Obama for a minute and the abuse of power of the British and American governments. But all roads lead back to the same abusiveness. At the end of the day, all roads lead back to the abuse of a government. And it's a very frightening thing to say. Here I was, a man who had never committed a crime, never appeared as a defendant in a criminal trial, never accused of an actual crime, and yet I was put on a list with Russian skinheads in prison for murdering 10 immigrants, put on a list with a Hamas murderer who executed two Jewish parents and crushed in the head of their four-year-old daughter with a rifle butt. Why was I put on a list with these criminals without a trial? Amanda Knox was given a trial and an appeal. I wasn't even given a trial by the people who invented the Magna Carta. So again, I'm harping on that old story. You're bored of it, aren't you? Banned in Britain. But you didn't really care about my book, Banned in Britain, or about my story being banned in Britain, because you didn't hear about it, read about it, see about it, talk about it. So I said, all right, the only way to reach the American people is through a novel. Do you realize what a long shot just came in for me? Do you have any idea, if you're a betting man, what this is? The guy feels he has a grudge against the government that did this to him. He writes a nonfiction book, and a couple of thousand people. He has a radio show. No one really cares. It's forgotten, buried. Old story, gone. So the guy says, I'll tell you what, I'll fictionalize the story to show what's really going on. And all of a sudden, the book is on the New York Times bestseller list as a fiction, as a story. It's unheard of. When have you heard of a political man writing a fictionalized book about a plight he has who hits it so high on a New York Times bestseller list? When have you ever heard about this? I don't think I've heard about it. There may be a few cases. A few ideas come to mind, but not in fiction. I mean, Emile Zola wrote a book, but he didn't fictionalize it in order to trumpet the cause of someone who had been falsely condemned for a crime he didn't commit. I think he has a descendant, this guy, who's a bad movie actor. I forget his name. Dreyfus. The world's worst actor in history. But the Dreyfus affair, man sent to Devil's Island for a crime he didn't commit, railroaded by the French government. No one ever heard of him. Nobody would do a thing for him. And then Emile Zola went to his defense, but he didn't write a novel. He just started to talk about it, and then he got him, you know, got him off, and he got Dreyfus back to the military. Nobody went to my defense. So here I am, still doing it. You want me to tell you what my age is? I can guarantee you, you'd be shocked to find out that men half my age don't have my energy. Why? What motivates me? I have no idea. I don't know. My quest for personal justice, personal freedom, supersedes even my sense of safety. Do you know that? Do you hear what I just said to you? That's a pretty amazing statement. Because if you're not willing to speak out, you are already a slave. If you are not willing to express your political opinions at work or at home, you're already a slave. And now think what a nation of people who have been so beaten up by the degenerates and the perverts and the left-wing browbeaters, you're so beaten up that you won't even say what you think is right. Instead, you let those degenerate perverts close down the Brooklyn Bridge. They don't have a job. Where did they all come from? The ugliest people on the planet are in these marches. You ever looked at the faces of these girls? Why are they so hysterical with rage? You think they care about Wall Street? These are genetically dysfunctional human beings who have been given far more power than any sane society would permit. Now they're blaming the police for wanting to keep the Brooklyn Bridge open in New York because a group of degenerate sickos closed down a bridge, and they say they're attacking the rich. They're not attacking the rich. They're stopping the cab driver from making a living. They're stopping the truck driver. They stopped ambulances going to and from hospitals. They stopped people going to and from work. They should have all been arrested. They should have been given 30 days hard time by Mayor Bloomberg. But the mayor had nothing to say about it. So there's a lot of rage in the world right now. Unfortunately, the degenerates and the illegitimates, the barbarians are getting the sympathy that they don't deserve. The barbarians are not at the gate. The barbarians are inside the gate. In the late Roman Empire, barbarians from Northern Europe raided into Roman territory. Eventually, the barbarians became so brazen and the Romans became so weak that Rome itself, the capital of the empire, was sacked. Not once, but several times. First by the Visigoths in 410 AD, then by the Vandals in 455 AD, and then by the Ostrogoths in 546 AD. Today, America doesn't face, at this time, an outside enemy so strong that they can take our capital over right in the open. Today, we face a different enemy. We face enemies within our own borders who are trying to destroy us from within. There are many of them. They're all far left activists. They're occupying Wall Street. They're closing down bridges. They're pushing for an American spring along the lines of the so-called Arab Spring, which is really nothing more than the Arab winter. They're putting Islamists in power in the Middle East because Jimmy Carter wanted that to happen in order to triangulate Israel. Make no mistake about it. The entire reason for the Arab Spring, the overthrow of Mubarak et al., was to force Israel into a corner and to destroy them. That's the whole reason. But of course, all the good Obama voters in Brooklyn and Queens just can't stop it. Their father voted D, they vote D. They don't know any better. They just don't know any better. You got a Hollywood idiot, a has-been hack, calling for the rich to be beheaded. This time the barbarians are not at the gate, they're already inside the gate. Now what can the Romans teach us? In the end, the Romans proved so weak and corrupt they could not resist the outside assaults. The empire was split into two, and Europe entered a dark age from which it would not emerge for 1,000 years. Here in America, we're on the edge of the same precipice, and our outside enemies are gathering strength as we are weakened. Russia, Iran, China. But in the case of the United States, the metaphorical armies that sack the United States will be composed of barbarians not from distant lands, not immigrants, but of those already living here. Just take a look at it. Don't be deceived. Make yourself aware of who they really are. New York, WOR Anthony, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, how are you? Good to talk to you. I was driving the other night listening to you. I've been listening to you for years, and I realized that probably 50% or more of what you say, I don't even agree with, and yet I can't stop listening to you for some reason. I mean, I just podcast every day. I think my father listens. I think my friends listen. I repeat your stuff verbatim as best I can. I listen to your
show. So without going into a litmus test and, you know, the normal radio thing of what don't you agree with, and we don't have to go down that road, Anthony, there's a reason you listen to me. It's because anyone who speaks with such force and self-assurance is worth listening to. That's number one. And you're not used to it in a world where everyone minces words and everyone tells you a little BS in order to get by. I think that's what it comes down to. In a way, I maybe sound like you know, someone from your father or grandfather's generation, probably, right?
Well, Michael, I'm searching for reality. I'm searching for somebody real who's going to just say the truth.
Well, hey, that's a funny line. Well, look at this. Here's a country filled with reality shows that are all fake. Think about it. You know, think about it. There's not a reality show that's real. They're all fake. You're telling me that, let's take Mob Wives. You see the girl sitting in a diner in Brooklyn. You're telling me that's who they really are, putting on that act over the coffee with the sweet and low with the cigarette? That's not who they are. They're acting out a role because the cameras are rolling. You want to see who they really are? Visit them at midnight when nobody's around and they're in bed with the mascara on the pillowcase.
Absolutely. And I listened to you, Michael, religiously. I stumbled across you ranting one night and said, what's this guy yelling about? And I haven't stopped listening since. That's how
well,
I found.
So you don't agree with some of the things, but you understand that a man should be listened to who has such self-assurance. But you certainly agree with me when I say borders, language, and culture, don't you?
Absolutely.
All right. So the rest doesn't even matter. To me, it's borders, language, and culture, first, last, and always. And if I ever ran for office, which I will never do, my platform would be very simple. Borders, language, and culture. You put me on a platform with all the Republicans put together, I could put them in one hand and run rings around them, but I would run right over the moderator. You think I would let a left-wing moderator like Wolf Blitzer or one of those other little Lilliputians tell me what I could say and can't say? I wouldn't listen to him. I would tell him to take a walk because the people want to hear me, not him. Who authorized these people to run these debates? What Republican in his right mind would walk into a debate run by Wolf Blitzer without expecting it to be skewed in such a way that they look bad? Now they're talking about Mr. Texas Governor's rock on his ranch. You heard about that fake scandal, right?
I hear it. Anything you talk about is what
unbelievable, but they're not talking about the $735 million given out last week on another solar scam. That somehow didn't make it to the local news. That didn't make it to NBC. I heard, by the way, David Gregory stole a line from me last week when he said Cain is Abel. Did you hear that one?
Yes.
Yeah, they all steal from me, and they make believe they don't know who they took it from. But let me tell you something. They're all listening to this show like you are. That's the bottom line here. Anthony, you heard the report that just came out earlier on the show about the streaming. Streaming is mainly a younger guy thing. Most of the people my age still listen on the radio, but streaming is the younger guy way to listen to the radio. I'm number two in the streaming world. How'd that happen? If I don't exist, not on TV, banned in Fox, banned in Britain, you never hear him, never see him, never heard of him. How come they're listening to me, Anthony? Same reason you are.
And I need that streaming to get your last hour of your show in New York, Michael. I look for
it. I get it. Well, I'm very glad to have WOR for the 2 hours that we have. Now, I'm going to send you a free gift if you can name it. What is it?
Abuse of Power. I can't
Bingo!
Wait.
Bingo! You're a winner. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Meredith Kircher murder timeline. Now, remember, you're talking about Amanda Knox, but Meredith Kircher is a 20-year-old kid from Surrey, discovered with a throat cut in her bedroom at her apartment in the Italian town of Perugia. Her body is partially clothed and under a duvet. Post-mortem exam reveals evidence of sexual activity at some point before Kircher died. Police arrest Kircher's American flatmate, Amanda Knox, then 20. Knox's boyfriend, Italian student Raffaele Solicito, and Congolese Dia Patrick Lumumba, who runs a local bar. Police claim Kircher was murdered because she refused to take part in violent sex. Knox is said to have broken down and confessed to the crime and implicated Lumumba. The three are held on suspicion. The rest is history. She's found guilty, along with the other two. And today, because of the money that her family could bring to the game in Italy, and the public opinion in favor of this pretty white girl, she's found innocent. Overturned. Final appeal hearing found not guilty in charge of murder and order released. Meanwhile, the only one in jail is who? Lumumba, the African. I'm surprised that all the liberals who are rushing to interview Amanda, poor innocent Amanda. How do you feel, Amanda? What was it like in prison, Amanda? What are you going to do now, Amanda? How come they're not talking about the only man who's in jail for this murder, even though there were three people present at the murder, is a black man from Africa? How's that possible? Oops, quite embarrassing. In fact, if you turn over that rock, you might find something more shocking than the rock at Perry's Ranch. You turn over the rock at Wolf Blitzer's flat, you never know what you might find crawling out from underneath that one. But you get the picture. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. But by what I can see, constructing it in, you know, the news and watching the trial in the beginning, I mean, she was there. Wasn't Amanda Knox there? What was she doing there, crocheting while they were having sex? Okay, so let's reconstruct this as intelligent people. They went there. They were going to have a wild time. They took this girl as a, maybe it was a satanic cult, or they got high on some drugs, probably the hashish that's well known to be used by the stupid children of America and Britain living in Italy, the drug addicts who pretend they're going there to study Italian, really just studying how to smoke hashish. So remember where the word hashish comes from. Hashish, hashash, hashash, assassin comes from the word assassin. But you don't want to burden yourself with that. Arabic assassins smoked keef before they went out and cut people's throats because it makes you violently crazy. It permits you to do things you wouldn't do if you weren't stoned on keef. I've been there, done that. Lived in Paris, know the game. Watched the blue dancing flame. Been there, done that. Know the game, watch the blue dancing flame. So don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not just an old white man. Been there, done that, watch the blue dancing flame. Assassin, hashish. They assassinate her. She doesn't want to participate. They cut her throat. Who did it? Well, apparently only the black man did it. Not the nice white girl from Seattle. She was only there as an exchange student. Not her boyfriend. After all, he couldn't have done it. He was a nice white boy. Only the black African would engage in such a satanic act, correct? Well, how come they're not talking about that on CNN, NBC, ABC, LSMFT, Dick Gregory, Cain is Able? Aren't you ashamed of yourself, old Dick? Dick Gregory, Cain is Able, you got it from me, you don't even know, or you do know? If you don't know, you're dumber than I think, and if you do know, then you're worse than I think. Watch the dancing flame. Been there, done that. 1-800-449-8255. It's a Savage Nation. There's a dead girl. She's not coming home from Italy. She's not coming home from Italy. She's 21 years old when she died, Meredith Kircher. Throat was slashed in her flat. She was in the midst of something terrible she didn't want to participate in. She was the only good one. She's on the ground. But wait until you see what the vermin in the media make of Amanda Knox. You wait and see what happens now. Take a look at what the psychos in the media are going to do with this one. Better than Martha Washington and Madame Curie put together, I can guarantee you.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
So Amanda Knox is free, but Meredith Kersha is in the ground forever. The question today is, Amanda Knox really innocent? Let's start with the case itself. She was involved in a love tryst with a couple of guys and this girl, and the girl's dead. Now she says she wasn't even there. Now, I wasn't there. I don't really know what happened. But the fact of the matter is, she's being turned into a heroine by the American media, while there's a dead girl named Meredith Kersha. 4 years after her brutal murder, British student Meredith Kersha has been forgotten by the vermin in the media. Instead, the fresh-faced American girl, convicted of killing her, is now a heroine. The mother of the dead girl says it's difficult to keep her memory alive in all of this. But let's not forget the brutality of what happened that night. And everything that Meredith Kersha must have felt as she was being killed. She didn't deserve that. No one deserves that. What happened? Well, I wasn't there. But her half-naked body was found in a pool of blood in the apartment she shared with American Amanda Knox. The girl was only 21 years old. Amanda and her Italian boyfriend, Raffaele, were arrested and convicted of murdering Kersha when she resisted their efforts to include her in a sex orgy. A verdict in their appeal against the conviction was just given down. They were found innocent. But she has been turned into a hero, that is Knox. Wait until the media get a hold of her here when she's back in America and the book deal. I'm not jealous, believe me. I wouldn't want such a claim. I'm very happy with the claim I have from Abuse of Power, and I didn't have to kill anybody to make it a bestseller. But one last question. Do you think she would have been found innocent if she were a black girl? Well, there is one man in jail on this case, and he's an African, isn't that right, Beowulf? There is one man in jail, the African involved, correct?
The owner of the bar.
The owner of the bar who was apparently in the room? Mm-hmm. So somebody killed this girl, but apparently Amanda Knox was found today innocent of all charges. Cleared of murder, free to go. And she says, I am not what they say I am. She's a good girl. On the business front, American Airlines is saying they're near bankruptcy. Stocks hit below average recession levels, hitting a fresh low. Dow lost another 250 points. B of A website crashed again. U.S. and Pakistani military are exchanging fire. Can you hear what's going on in the world? Syrians detained 3,000 fellow citizens in 3 days, and we're concerned about Palestinians. Vermin closed down the Brooklyn Bridge. As if only the rich use the Brooklyn Bridge, when it was mainly taxi drivers and workers. The Wall Street protesters should all be arrested and put in a pen with pigs. The only good note is the founder of Black Educational Television is really a smart man. He's a black man, Robert Johnson, and he says to Obama, stop demagoguing the rich. Mr. Johnson says, stop demagoguing the rich. He founded Black Education Television, Black Entertainment Television. Johnson says Obama has to recalibrate his strategy. He says you don't get people to like you by demeaning or attacking their success. Johnson says he grew up poor, and he earned his success. He earned the right to fly in a private jet if he chooses to do so, and attacking him is no way to convince him he should take a bigger hit because he happens to be wealthy. Johnson says it's the old Ethel Merman approach to life, saying I've tried rich, and I've tried poor, and I like rich better. Doesn't mean I'm a bad guy, he says. I didn't go into business to create a public policy success for either party. Johnson says he went into business to create jobs and opportunities and to create value for him and his investors. And that's what Obama should be praising, not demagoguing them simply because Buffett pays more than his secretary. Johnson says, well, Buffett should pay his secretary more and she'll pay more taxes. Now, there's a smart man. a businessman as opposed to a journalist. Okay, here's what's on michaelsavage.com. Amanda Cox Freed, was she innocent or guilty? That's the question of the day. Slane Kircher, forgotten during Knox trial, family says. My novel, Abuse of Power, debuted at number 4 on the New York Times bestseller list. Actually, to tell you the truth, it gave me a kick to see it on that list. That's the big board. That's the big leagues. That is the big leagues, and I beat some of the biggest in the business. Why? Without any media help but you, the Savage Nation. Abuse of Power. Just how far up does the abuse of power reach? Why don't you read an excerpt for free on my website and then order a copy? Iran's Uber Hitler says Palestinians should have all of Israel, no place for Jews. No country for old Jews. Hey, if you think that's bad, how about identity theft? What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now, 1-800-LOCK-485, and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call now. Ohio Muslim inmates sue over meal preparation. United Kingdom gives Muslim hate preacher human rights payout, even though he shouldn't be in the country to begin with. Syria on the brink of civil war. Only 2% of imported food inspected. Nancy Pelosi's kin received the $737 million green loan payout. How could they be so tone-deaf to do this right now, people are asking. But you didn't read that in your local paper. Oh, yes, the U.S. met with Islamist Muslim Brotherhood, as I warned you they would. Obama gun scandal grows. Today, the Supreme Court gets ready to decide on Obamacare, illegal immigration, and other very important issues. Clueless, idiot, Nobel Prize-winning moron Energy Secretary Chu says, Solyndra shouldn't stop green spending spree. I may be a mad professor, but look at all the money I can give away. UN plans more ambition in climate regulations, despite the science. Border Patrol nabs 14 tons of pot in single border bust. Illegal Hispanic students flee Alabama schools, fearing a new law cracking down on illegal aliens. Paris launches electric car sharing program. All of this and more on MichaelSavage.com.
Savage.
Let us go to Frank in New York on WOR. Frank, go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, being miserable is actually the natural state of affairs for man.
That's right. You're my kind of guy. That's right.
Yeah, and you proved it many times this past week by citing Ecclesiastes. One of the first words in that book is meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And he develops that theme in Ecclesiastes from the beginning to the end. And the reason for it is because one of the lines in Ecclesiastes says that God has set eternity in the heart of man. So when you have temporal success in this world, we're eternal beings. It's not enough. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, O Lord. So that's the problem. And
it's also very beautiful theology. I mean, this is theologically very interesting to me. I feel as though I'm speaking with a wise man, Frank. Obviously, you're a very spiritual man, probably very religious as well. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I think
are you of the Catholic faith?
And when Michael, when you say
Frank, I'm sorry, Frank, are you of the Catholic faith?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very interesting. So where do you derive your peace of mind from?
Well, I'll tell you, Michael. Well, let me first say, your book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, is a fantastic book, and I would encourage anybody who didn't read it to read it.
That's unbelievable.
I think the mental disorder that results from liberalism is a side effect of liberalism. I believe that liberalism is essentially a spiritual disorder because liberals love everything that God hates, and God hates everything that liberals love.
Oh, Frank. Oh, this is good. This is very refreshing. This is better than eating a mint.
And also, I derive my peace, Michael, from God. You just go to God, whatever happens in life, whether it's good or bad. And in the New Testament, it says he gives you the peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's true. I've experienced it many, many times in my life, and it's a truly wonderful thing.
But as a Catholic, aren't you taught that man is basically burdened with original sin?
Yes.
Okay. So even though you are born with original sin, according to your religious teachings and beliefs, there's a way out of it.
Of course. God is always the way out of it. Always. You know,
I'm going to tell you something funny. I have this ongoing legal suit against England where I've been smeared and I can't get my name off the list. I'm like a fish on a hook. No matter which way I twist, the hook goes in deeper. It's cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars. The fake government in England that was supposed to get me off turned out to be liars through and through, as you well know. And, you know, some days it gets so bad, I don't know what to do. And, you know, when I stop struggling, you know what I say? It's God's will. There's a reason for it. The pain goes away. I completely feel no pain whatsoever.
Michael, you got the answer for it right in the Book of Psalms.
No, I know that. Well, I know that. I mean, I didn't get to this age by not having some techniques or tools to get through these agonies. Correct, Frank?
Right, of course. But, Michael, God says in Psalms, cease striving and know that I am God. Give yourself some peace. Don't let the English drive you nuts. Forget about that. It's not even important. And the level of success that you achieve in your life is staggering. Most individuals who have achieved truly great, the pinnacles of their profession, people like Beethoven and Michelangelo, were tragic figures. And those are the most creative people on the planet. I mean, that type, you know. And I just...
Frank, I have a couple of... Frank, are you a father?
No, I never.
I don't mean a priest. I mean, do you have a children?
No, I have no children.
Well, you would be a wonderful teacher. You would have been a fine father. The way you speak is so reassuring. What do you do, Frank?
I'm a musician. I'm a jazz musician.
Oh man, I should have gone in that direction. I had no way to know.
Yeah, that's an animal.
So, what instrument? What instrument do you play, Frank?
Guitarist.
Guitarist.
Guitarist, yes.
So you played in clubs all your life, right?
Oh, yeah, I played, yes, of course. Many of them.
Did you play like in the old Lenny Bruce days, Village Vanguard, Village Gate?
Yeah, no, but no, I'm in my late 50s, Michael. So.
Oh, you're a young guy. You're a young guy.
Yeah, I'm younger, you know, a little too young for that. But,
yeah.
No, I did a lot of club day gigs and everything like that there.
So you've been around everything imaginable. You've been around the drugs. You've been around the booze, the whole deal, right?
And I grew up in Greenwich Village in Manhattan, you know.
Oh, you're a West Villager.
Yes, yes. And,
well, that's that was a beautiful neighborhood. It's always been a beautiful neighborhood, one of my favorites. Always loved it.
Yeah.
Always loved that neighborhood. Always loved it. Always fond of it. Washington Square will always stay in my heart. I could ask a million questions about it, but I won't because it's a little on the sidetrack. I'm going to ask you one question. Why do you listen to my radio show?
Because you have been gifted, Michael, with gifted insight. The insight that you have in life and in the world can only come from one source, and that one source is God. This is why liberals are so tormented. I have a few friends now who are atheists, and I must tell you, Michael, they're the most angriest, miserable people on the planet. And that's because they're distancing themselves further and further from God. I try to give them the gospel. They don't even want to hear it. But a guy like you, who I know believes in God, could only get you. In my personal opinion, Michael, I think you're a genius. And I think, I know for a fact that gift can only come from God, because he is the author of all gifts. It says that in the New Testament. And I'm not saying this to butter you up. Believe me.
No, I'm sitting here almost like, where's this coming from? Obviously, I like what you're saying because it's all complimentary. But there's a truth in what you're saying from your own heart, which is what's resonating on the radio. People know what's... See, they can hear the truth. You know, as Hemingway said, the truth has a certain ring to it. So I'm saying your truth is your truth, but you're not saying it for any other reason other than you believe it. But you certainly could be doing something else other than listening to this show, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Of course. I enjoy listening to you because you go right to the heart of them. You know, there's no pretense with you. And
if I were a musician, if I were a jazz musician, Frank, what instrument would I be playing?
Oh, my goodness. Are you? Well, you have that stream of consciousness, Michael. So I would say probably more of a saxophone type.
Bingo! I swear to God, I knew you were going to say it. Yeah. I'd definitely be an alto sax, not a baritone sax, where you step right in like Coltrane, the greatest genius on the horn ever. Right or wrong? I mean, do you still revere that guy?
Absolutely. John Coltrane is fantastic.
The best. The absolute best. But he could step out of nowhere with one note and bring you right into his world of music.
Yeah,
like nobody on earth. Nobody on earth. I can't say I modeled my show on him because I do words. I don't do music, and I have no facility to even read music or play music. I have no capacity for languages nor music. Would you believe that, Frank?
No. Well,
Frank,
music...
you and I could talk forever over a coffee or a drink. It'd be amazing. I doubt that it will ever happen in real life because it never does. But, Frank, I'm going to do two things. One, I'm sending you a free copy of my novel, Abuse of Power, and I'd love to hear what you think of it. And I want you to give your email to my producer, who'll send it to me, and I want to start a little correspondence. After you read it, okay, you'll send him your review, and then I'll get back to you. Is that good enough? Because I want to see it. And what I want to do on the way out of this particular segment, guys, while Frank's hanging to get his number and all, get some Coltrane up if you haven't gotten it already. I mean, there's a couple of incredible ones. You know the ones I love. And girls, you don't have to be stoned to love jazz. You don't have to be a stew bum drunk to be a musician. You can love God and you could be a musician and you can love God and be Einstein. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The recent assassination of U.S.-born terrorist al-Awlaki raises the issue of, did Obama have the right to do it? Interestingly, the left says he didn't, and I'm not so sure he just should have done it without a trial. Joining us right now to talk about it is Eric Stackelback, a correspondent in terrorism analysis for CBN News. Eric Stackelback, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So where do you stand on the killing of al-Awlaki? I mean, he was a bad guy, hated America, arch-vicious, but he was an American citizen. It's kind of worrisome that Obama has the right to just kill people.
You know, Michael, you and I have talked about Awlaki for months here on the Savage Nation, what a big threat he is to the U.S. Now he's gone. I think this is even more significant than the killing of Osama bin Laden, and here's why. Awlaki was American-born, fluent in English, spent half of his life here in the U.S. He was a citizen. He knew our culture. He knew our ways. He was able to break down that language barrier and connect directly to young Muslims in New York City, Chicago, L.A., kids who were maybe raised here, had never even been to the Middle East, who didn't speak Arabic. Awlaki connected directly to them and said, look, I feel your pain. I lived in that infidel land, America. I know what you're going through. Michael, that was such a powerful, powerful aspect of jihad that he brought to the table. That was something bin Laden, Zawahiri, these other al-Qaeda leaders could not do. They're Arabic speakers, never been to America. Awlaki was one of us in a lot of ways. As I said, lived here for 20 years, studied at Colorado State University. So that's one big thing. His YouTube speeches, DVDs, CDs sold like hotcakes in the West. But the other thing is, look, this guy was operational. Out of Yemen, he was masterminding plots more so than any other al-Qaeda branch. That Yemen branch of al-Qaeda was putting together plots against the American homeland. Awlaki had a hand in Fort Hood, a hand in the attempted underwear bombing Christmas Day 2009. He was the inspiration for the Times Square bomber last year. And, Michael, I've, you know, investigated a lot of these homegrown jihad cases over the past several years. In literally every single case I investigate here on U.S. soil, Alaki was cited by the terrorist, by the jihadist, as their inspiration. Very dangerous guy. Very good thing that he's gone.
You, of course, disagree with the left being concerned about the rights of a terrorist such as him?
Yeah, you know, this has been a theme, Michael, since 9/11. The left, and you've done a better job covering this than anyone and pointing this out, the madness of the left. They are concerned with what they call the assassination of Anwar al-Awlaki. Now, look, also, the left's allies in the radical Islamic world, it's really interesting, Michael, because they're making the same argument. Groups like CARE and other American Islamist groups are decrying the assassination of Anwar al-Awlaki. To me, it's very interesting and very telling that the left in America and the radical Islamic sect in America have the same view of the killing of Anwar al-Awlaki, of the killing of Osama bin Laden. Once again, we see a convergence of the hard left and a convergence of the Islamists in this country, because at the end of the day, they might have a lot of differences, but at the end of the day, the downfall of Judeo-Christian Western civilization is what binds them together in an unholy alliance. The left is doing everything they can to weaken America's national security. It's suicidal. It's madness. But, hey, this is what the left's been doing for 100 years.
Is Dick Cheney right when he says the Obama administration owes the administration of Bush an apology?
You know, Cheney was dead on here, Michael. Obama in 2008, his platform, his entire national security foreign policy platform was based on opposing all things Bush. Everything Bush did in since 9/11, Obama ran against. Now we see, over the past 3 years, Obama has kept a lot of these Bush policies in place. And policies like, look, in Yemen, where al-Awlaki was killed by a U.S. drone last week, the first time that was done in Yemen was way back in 2002, when the Bush administration used a drone strike to take out another terror leader in Yemen. So there's a precedent here that the Obama administration is following. A lot of the Bush administration policies, look, getting bin Laden. Now, the Obama administration is so opposed to enhanced interrogations, but those enhanced interrogations used under the Bush administration directly led to bin Laden. It's very likely that intelligence gleaned in those enhanced interrogations, Bush-era methods, led to Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. So in many cases, Obama is reaping the benefits of Bush administration policies, the same policies he ran against and decried as draconian and tyrannical and anti-American. He's using those very same policies. Look, I criticize the Bush administration on several fronts, but in this so-called war on terror, I call it the war against Islamism, Bush did a lot of things right, especially on the home front. Obama's not an idiot. He wants to get reelected. He knows those policies work. So he'll say one thing in public, but he'll do another thing. Look, when it comes down to nuts and bolts on the ground, he'll do another thing. And the other thing he's doing is very similar to what Bush was doing for 8 years.
What are the similarities and differences in how Obama and Bush applied foreign policy?
I think the biggest difference between the Obama administration and the Bush administration is the throwing under the bus of Israel. Look, Bush was viewed in the Muslim world, like him or not, he was viewed in the Muslim world as a strong horse who said what he meant what he said, would take action, and who would have Israel's back at all costs, no matter what the situation. Now Obama comes into office. First thing he does is ramp up the pressure on Israel in a major, major, major way, criticize Israel in an unprecedented public way. Instead of taking a tough stand against Israel's enemies in the Muslim world, as Bush did, Obama is conciliatory, practically begging for a relationship, for dialogue. They smell that, they see that, they smell weakness, especially in Iran. Look, the Iranians for a time in 2003, for a short time, they actually gave up their nuclear weapons program for a very brief time in 2003. Why did they do that? Because Bush showed some mettle and invaded Iraq, Iran's next-door neighbor. We can go on and on about the Iraq invasion. Was it good? Was it bad? But, hey, It did show that, look, the Americans are willing to take action. And that shook a lot of our Islamist enemies in the Middle East. Now, Obama comes in. One of the first things he does is make this conciliatory speech to the Muslim world. Please be our friend. Please have dialogue with us. We're so sorry for what we've done to you. We're so sorry for backing the Zionist entity, Israel, all these years. Let's reset things. Let's have a new relationship. Islamists see that, and they smile ear to ear. They smell weakness. They think Obama is weak and what he's done to Israel. Look, symbolism is very big in the Islamic world. And when he comes out and publicly slams Israel again and again and again, says we need daylight between the U.S. and between Israel, look, the Islamists aren't idiots. You think they're not sitting there taking notes? They're licking their chops. Then we have Obama's defense secretary, Leon Panetta, say just over the weekend, Michael, blaming Israel. Once again, Israel needs to restart negotiations with the Palestinians. Israel needs to strike up better relations with its neighbors. It's left Israel in such a precarious position. I think that's the biggest difference between the Obama and Bush foreign policies.
The world seems to be focused on a Palestinian state when it needs to be focused on the extreme threat of Iran. Don't you agree?
Look, there's something in Washington, D.C., Michael, and I work in D.C. It makes me pull my hair out on a daily basis. There is a theory in D.C. called linkage. Now, the Obama administration are the biggest purveyors of this theory. And what it is that if we establish a Palestinian state, then all of the other problems, including the Iranian nuclear threat, will magically go away. Really, this administration and many inside the Beltway truly believe that if we just establish a Palestinian terrorist state in the biblical heartland of the Jewish people, Judea and Samaria, if we just do that, then Iran will magically come to the negotiating table, will reconsider their nuclear program. The Muslim Brotherhood will suddenly be open to recognizing Israel as a Jewish state. The Saudis will as well. This is truly what they think. Well, there's a few problems in that. Number one, the Iranians, nothing, no amount of dialogue, no amount of bribery, nothing will enable them, will convince them to give up their nuclear weapons program. As Ahmadinejad himself said, the Iranian nuclear weapons program is, quote, like a train with no brakes. The only thing that will stop an Iranian nuclear program is a military strike. I believe, Michael, and you and I have discussed this before, I believe that Israel will take that action because Iran is an existential threat. I believe Israel will act eventually against those nuclear facilities. It remains to be seen how the Obama administration will react to that, or if it happens on Obama's watch. But that's the main problem with the linkage theory. Iran will never give up their nuclear weapons. The second and most glaring problem is the Palestinians, whether it's Hamas or the supposedly moderate Palestinian Authority of Mahmoud Abbas, still refuse to recognize Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state. So why on earth would Israel give up land, the biblical heartland of the Jewish people, to an enemy which will not even recognize its right to exist? It's madness. What Washington is doing right now is pushing Israel to the edge of oblivion. And it's just a nasty, nasty thing. And America will pay for it. Israel is the canary in the coal mine in this fight. Israel is only the little Satan. America is the great Satan. America is the ultimate prize for the Islamist. If Washington, if this administration thinks if we just sacrifice Israel, the Islamist will leave us alone, they're out of their minds.
Eric, in your opinion, which presidential candidate you think is most qualified to, handle the different crises in the Middle East?
Well, look, it's a very interesting question. Right now, I'm kind of reviewing where each candidate stands on foreign policy. Now, all of them so far have talked tough on Iran. I really like what Rick Santorum says on Iran. I've met with him. He's very strong. He really gets the Iranian threat. Mitt Romney talks strongly about Iran. That's across the board. They're all going to talk tough on Iran. They're all going to support Israel. That's great. What I'm really interested in, Michael, it's foreign policy, but it's connected, but it's not quite. I want to see where they stand on Islamists in America, on the Muslim Brotherhood front groups inside the United States, because that is a clear and present danger within our borders. What about the growth, the push of Islamic Sharia law in America? Because there is a concerted effort by Muslim Brotherhood-connected Islamist groups inside our country to enforce, to impose Sharia law. What about the massive mosque building from coast to coast, Muslim Brotherhood-connected mosques? I'd love to hear the candidates speak to that. They're all going to say the right things when it comes to Iran. We need to be tough on Iran. We need to support Israel. That's great. Amen. But what about the threats closer to home as well, the Islamist ideology? Let's have some real politically incorrect conversations about the enemy we're facing.
Eric Stackelback, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you. And everyone, you can check out my book, The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat. It's available anywhere, and I hit all of these topics that we talked about today in the book. Thanks again.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Of anger out there. There's so many people who simply don't think they're better off than they were 4 years ago. How do you convince them that they are?
Well, I don't think they're better off than they were 4 years ago. They're not better off than they were before Lehman's collapsed, before the financial crisis, before this extraordinary recession that we're going through. I think that what we've seen is that we've been able to make steady progress to stabilize the economy, but the unemployment rate is still way too high. And that's why it's so critical for us to make sure that we are taking every action we can take to put people back to work.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to americaisrising.com, 800-255-4199. AmericaIsRising.com.
Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise?
All right, it's the Savage Nation. If you're not having fun on radio, then get away from the microphone because no one wants to listen to a cranky old man. The first thing I learned when I went in this business is have fun on the radio. And let me tell you something, not too many people are still having fun on the radio. They're running scared and you can hear it, and that's why people are turning off the radio. Remember I was saying, how did we go from a time when I was a kid, for example, when even poor Italian people who were in my grew up in my neighborhood, they looked up to opera stars. Even the poorest Italians could sing an aria or try to sing an aria. Their role models were people such as Mario Lanza, later on Pavarotti. And take a look at the degeneracy today of a culture where Jersey Shore and the Sopranos are held up as the role models for Italians. Or take a look at the Jewish people. When I was a boy, Jonas Salk was held up as a role model. Take a look at what we have now, Anthony Weiner. When I was a boy, Martin Luther King Jr. was a role model for black people. Take a look at the rapper garbage we have today in the United States of America. And so without further ado, let's go to the wonderful sound production describing the role models and the leadership of the past to the present, from dignity to depravity, on the Savage Nation.
We have fun, we're fearless. I mean, we go into the room, we kill it. We go into the club, we kill it. Photo shoots, we kill it. We're in Miami, we're killing it. On the beach, we're killing it.
That's just how we do since day one.
I believe that the future generations will look back upon us and judge us as to whether we have been wise or whether we have been profligate and wasteful.
I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman will observe regular order.
I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
I said a hip.
So there we go, from Pavarotti to the degenerate filth of Jersey Shore, the illiterate morons, from Jonas Salk to Anthony Weiner, from Martin Luther King Jr. to a rapper who can hardly speak the English language. Now let's go to the next one, which we put together. We're going to compare, for those of you who are not of any of those ethnicities or proclivities, we're going to go to a comparison between Dylan Thomas, a Welsh poet, and Amy Winehouse, and otherwise nobody who somebody doesn't love. We're then going to go to Edward R. Murrow compared with Chris Matthews, a man who belongs in an Alzheimer's ward, in my opinion. We're then going to show you a Hispanic gentleman named Luis Alvarez, one of the great physicists who you probably never heard of, who got where he was without affirmative action, without the government helping him along. And then we're going to compare Luis Alvarez, scientist, Nobel Prize winner, with Representative Gutierrez. Then we're going to compare Madame Curie to Lady Gaga right now on the Savage Nation.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no.
We must remember always that accusation is not proof, and that conviction depends upon evidence and due process of law.
The feeling most people get when they hear a Barack Obama speech, I felt this thrill going up my leg. I don't have that too often.
Steady.
I was following my father's advice. I said to myself, let's just sit down in a chair and spend all evening and see what you can come up with.
In the same manner as we have stood up, when the rule of law said to a woman, you will not earn equal pay. When someone of sexual orientation is abused, we say that will not be tolerated.
Magnesium oxide, 99%. Other extraneous matter, 0.001%.
I wrote this speech, this address, myself. My address to you today is called the prime rib of America.
Is this over your head, under your head, on your head, or between?